Beautiful song this evening. How many tonight by an amen would say you're thankful that Jesus loves you? Would you say amen tonight? What a God that you and I serve that loves you and I. Yet we're not always lovely, and yet our God always loves us. What a thought this evening. What a beautiful song. Pastor Chris, I love the song we sang right before that about the Word of God. What wonderful words there were, powerful words in that song about the inerrant Word. I trust that each and every time we meet, we're thinking about the words that are singing up on the boards. And what a wonderful service, worship service and song tonight. Galatians chapter number 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, as your health allows you to tonight. Galatians chapter number 5. We've been in a series now the last several Sunday nights. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We've laid a good foundation beginning really in verses number 16 and carrying on. As you and I have to put off the flesh, we have really this foundation of we can walk in the Spirit. There are things we must get rid of. But then as we live our lives, there's going to be fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit living inside of you and I. And we begin to see this fruit here in verses number 22 here in the Word of God. Would you follow along as I read Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." This evening we're going to look at the fruit of joy. The fruit of joy. Now if we think about joy for just a moment, and I know we're standing, but just give me just a moment here. If we think about joy, oftentimes it's during these situations, I really believe that God allows, especially in an expository manner, when you're running through verses, that God just allows us to come along a verse that's going to be a help to us as families and individuals and as the local church. There's no doubt that even coming in, you know, 2 years ago we'd sit here and we'd have announcements. Here's what's going on. It's good and it's great. Man, I can't believe it. And it's amazing how our lives have changed. That even in the announcements, I feel sorry for Pastor Dan, Pastor Blake, and those who give the announcements at the time. Because it used to be, you know, we're going to Israel. Oh, it's going to be great. Now it's like, yeah, Israel's canceled. Sorry about that. And, you know, oh, you know, we get to meet together, but stay 6 feet apart and wear your mask. And, you know, whether you're a masked person or not, you know, for me, to be honest with you, this is just a little visit with the pastor for just a moment. I'm telling you, there's one time I really do like wearing a mask. I really do. And that is right after preaching, coming down, I put on a mask. Because I'm telling you, if you speak for 45 minutes and then you get done, your mouth is dry. And my new life verse is found in Job chapter number 19 and verse number 17. My breath is strange to my wife. it's my new life verse, man, because I'm telling you, you get done. And man, I put on that mask. I talk to everybody, oh, have a great day. And I'm thinking, man, I am dying underneath this thing. And when we get through, we're going to have basketball games. It used to be a big time. Let's all gather in the gym. Let's cheer. Cross Point on. We're gonna cheer them on. Now it's like, you know, only parents and sorry, grandparents, you know, you're not related, and only siblings, and, you know, the whole adopted thing doesn't work, and the whole we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Sorry, it's not, you're not going to make it. Okay. Well, it's kind of these times that we go through that it's that time's kind of hard to have joy. And we're in church and let's sing about God. The world around us at times makes it really hard to have joy. And yet, a fruit of the Spirit is this. Joy. The fruit of joy. Father, in our time in the Word tonight, I ask, Lord, that You'd give me the words to say. Savior, how do we have joy? What is joy, God? Are we going to base our joy, Savior, on what the world wants to present as joy, or do we want a real biblical joy? That's the question for us tonight. Father, give me the words to say this evening. Help me to preach with boldness and to speak with compassion. Savior, move, guide, and direct as only You can. We love You, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. Since the beginning of mankind, we have always been pursuing joy. We've been pursuing happiness. What Whatever avenue men have taken, we've always tried to seek the things that's going to bring a smile to our face or something that we can be enthusiastic in the flesh. Oftentimes, the pursuits that men have taken have long failed, even by those who have been very popular, those who have had a lot of money, those who have even been given a lot of wisdom. I think of Solomon, who wrote in the Word of God, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity, all is nothing." If you look at life, if you take life, if you experience life, by the time you get to the end, the wisest man who ever lived said it really boils down to nothing. It was Jay Gould, an American millionaire, that stated, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Alexander the Great, conquering the known world, wept when he was done and said, and I quote, "There are no more worlds to conquer." At the height of his popularity and in the sports arena, probably one of the greatest football players to have ever played and continues to play, a man by the name of Tom Brady, after his third Super Bowl, said, "How do I have all of this and still am not happy?" Today, there are many, including Christians, who are looking for joy. They're seeking for that happiness in their life. Today, you and I are even trying to find joy amidst a very negative world. There are many who are constantly buying more possessions, seeking more fulfilling relationships, or searching more successful careers. Sadly, the problem occurs when you and I seek for joy or seek for happiness in something that is only temporal. Something that is only there for a short while and then it's going to fade away. Maybe it's joy in a new car, and that new car is great and wonderful, and it's got all the new bells and whistles, as we say, and yet in 5 years there's not as much joy when there's 70,000 miles and dents and stuff breaking down and new tires and batteries and mufflers and so on and so forth. It's just not as much joy. There's joy in vacations that come, and yet that vacation is there. Well, when you get home, the vacation is gone, and it's back to reality, back to the job, back to the same old, back to school, back to homework, back to the employer, back to... And that vacation that we looked so forward to, and yet it is so short-lived. Many are looking for joy in relationships. A relationship that's going to bring them joy, and yet that seemingly perfect relationship will shortly fall apart because it was based on the wrong type of emotion. The happiness of those things soon evaporates, and it's really almost this journey of trying to find something that is going to fulfill our life and bring us that joy. People are missing the mark when it comes to joy. And the question we must ask tonight is why? Why are we missing the mark as Christians when it comes to joy? Why can't we talk about the fruits of the Spirit? Why can't we talk about getting rid of idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations, wraps, right? Yeah, let's put off those things. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings and such, I tell you before and told you in past times. Like, get rid of it. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we believe in that. Then the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, yes, love. Lord, we got to love. Well, we have a Savior that loves us. But then we come to joy. And joy is almost one of these subjects that, if we're not careful, we almost preach it in a type of way that you should have joy, but we don't fully comprehend what a biblical joy is. You must, husbands, have joy. Wives, you ought to have joy. Kids, tonight, listen up, kids. You need joy in your life. Everybody says, yeah, amen, okay, great. But how do we have it, and what is it? You see, the Bible often talks about joy. The New Testament, the word rejoice is found 72 times. The word joy is found over 60 times in the New Testament. Christianity and joy really are synonymous terms. That means this, they ought to go together. When you think of a Christian, the world's terminology or the world's definition of a Christian ought to at least include the word joy. It ought to include the word maybe a smile or happiness or somebody that has something that is, can I put it this way, fulfilling in their life. Yet the day and age we live, we don't, if we're really honest, now look, if we're really honest, there's not that much joy positivity, or perhaps even happiness in the life of a Christian anymore. Have you noticed that there are some elderly that I know that still do, but there's not a lot of people that whistle anymore? You ever notice that? You say, well, Pastor Shepherd, it's hard to whistle in a mask. Okay, but before COVID, have you noticed that people don't really whistle anymore? You know, whistle. I know several that do. Your whistling comes from something that's in the heart. It's joyful. It's happy. It's in there. Yes, we don't find a lot of people singing anymore. It's on the way, humming, happiness. It's this. We've almost gotten to this place where we are starting to live where the lost world lives. We're starting to live not on the basis of what real biblical joy is, but what the world says joy is or has to be in our lives. Let's look for the next couple of moments at joy. Number one, if you're taking notes this evening, the reasons for our joy. And this first point I'm going to run through a little bit quicker tonight. But number one, the reasons for our joy. Joy begins for you and I, especially on a Sunday night. We can comprehend this, and it kind of even goes along with our message this morning in the book of Psalms. But the joy begins in salvation. The moment a lost sinner bows his head in realization, belief, and acceptance that only Christ can save his soul from a darkened grasp of hell is the moment of salvation. And you and I comprehend that once a soul is eternally saved through Christ, joy is instantaneously within a believer. The book of Romans says it like this. Romans 15 and 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all," watch it now, "joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You and I rejoice because of the love of God. We saw that this morning, even in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, when God wrote the love that He has for you and I. And because of His sacrificial love, you and I have a reason to rejoice. The Bible records for us in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 39. An Ethiopian man heard of Christ, received Him, and was baptized. And the Bible writes, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more." Watch this now. "And he went on his way rejoicing." He was rejoicing because he had accepted Christ as his Savior. He had followed in believers' baptism. And now there was a natural joy in his life. May I say this even, if the very basis of this message is this, it has to be that you and I can know real joy. If you're saved tonight, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're going to live with Him for all of eternity, it doesn't matter what circumstances you go through. It doesn't matter the good times or the bad times. You and I can know a real God, and that real God can put inside of us a real joy. That joy starts with the basics of salvation. Then we understand that joy, now that the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When you and I receive Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. You and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is why our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Holy Spirit in you wants to bear fruit through you. When you and I get saved, you and I then take on, our body becomes the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us wants to splash some things naturally. There are some things that ought to flow from the life of you and I. One of those things that ought to flow is the very subject of joy. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace," watch it now, "and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joy is a disposition produced by the Holy Spirit. That means this: you and I can try to buy joy, but it is not going to last. You can spend all your money, but it's not going to last. It will not be there. You and I can try to save up enough for joy, but you cannot save up enough. If you lived 100 lifetimes, you can never save up enough to have real joy. You and I can try to work for it, but it's not going to be there. A cheerful countenance is produced first by the Holy Spirit, who produces inner joy and delight. That's why the psalmist said this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desire of thine heart." To have joy, now watch very carefully, I'm going to lay a foundation here, but to have joy produced in our lives, we must be yielded to the one who lives inside of us. You and I have to lay down that it's no longer, remember now that choice that we saw three Sunday nights ago, that choice that we have is now laying down you and I. It's laying down our flesh. It's laying down who you and I are, and we're yielding our life to the Holy Spirit. Watch very carefully. If we yield to His will, He will produce the fruit that we can never produce on our own. Uh-oh. Wait, Pastor Sheriff, time out. Wait a minute. Let's take a break here. We can't produce it on our own. Well, the Word of God says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That command in Philippians is found where God is commanding us to rejoice always. Now you tell me. Is it always easy to rejoice always? No. No. It's not always easy to rejoice always. There are circumstances in life that actually make it very difficult to rejoice the Lord. It may seem impossible to believe that this verse is real or a real command, because can anyone really rejoice in everything? Think about it. Well, the Bible says, rejoice the Lord always. And then I say, rejoice. Yeah, I know you're going through a hard time, and I know so-and-so dying. I know you got cancer, and I know coronavirus is in the family, and I know this. And I know you're going through debt, and I know you're bankrupt, and I know you lost your job. But you know what the Bible says? Rejoice the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Can we really rejoice in everything? See, at times, this is why series like this is important, because we get back to a foundation, or we really get to what the Word of God really means. This is a real good reason to believe this command, because you and I cannot rejoice in everything. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of joy. You and I do not have the power to one day decide, look, we're going to have joy in everything. We cannot wake up one morning and say, today I'm just going to have true joy and joy is going to live in me. Our quest in life ought not to be for joy, but our quest in life ought to be for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the very Holy Spirit that is going to produce that joy in you and I. The fruits of Thomas Shepherd is not love and joy. The fruits of you fill in your name tonight is not love and joy. Listen, young person, the joy in your life is not saying, well, I guess I can produce it. Well, that's why I go on this. That's why I do this. It's why I hit the lake in my boat. And that's why I go fishing. That's why I go hunting. That's why I shoot a basketball. Ladies, that's why I go shopping. And this is why I work. And this is why I do. Well, look, if we're just going to try to produce joy, if we're going to try to rejoice in everything, I'm just telling you, friend, we are going to fail miserably. But when we allow God to overtake our life, I mean, just take over every door, every closet, every hidden compartment in our heart, then you and I are able to produce the real joy that we see and what started with salvation in God living inside of us. Huh. You see, I think at times we so get enamored with the world that we begin to take on the culture of the world. Education, more this, corporate ladder, bigger house, nicer vehicle, culture, this. Instead of setting the culture, instead of you and I being the culture, you know, we begin to take it on. And the problem with that is we begin to apply culture to the Word of God instead of allowing the Word of God to affect our culture. You see, the reasons of our joy is because you and I truly can rejoice. Why? We can have that joy living inside of us because it's sorry out of salvation. And then the Holy Spirit produces that fruit. Again, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. Number one, the reasons of our joy. But number two, would you write this down? The resilience of our joy. The resilience of our joy. The fruit of joy is not up and down. Now, let me just say that again. The fruit of joy is not up and down. It's not high times and low times and high times and low times. If the fruit of the Spirit really comes from God, it is a constant. It is available to you and I. The book of Nehemiah tells us how the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is through God's joy that we obtain strength and remain steady amidst life's circumstances. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10 records, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them who have nothing is prepared. And this day the holy, is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." There is joy in every moment of life. You say, "Pastor Shepherd, what about the bad times?" Yes, there is joy in every moment of life, including the bad times. The fruit of joy is one of the most powerful fruits of the Holy Spirit, because you and I can experience it in the good times and in the low times. God says, even when you and I are suffering, you and I can have joy, or you and I can give joy. It's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye need be, ye in heaviness through manifold temptations." Look, you and I know. Now watch again. We're not just going to sit up here on this kind of heavy-minded, "Well, everybody should have joy, and you know, I'm trying to have it, and we'll just see what we do." No, let's just bring it right back down to you and I living in the pews tonight. Let's just bring it down. You and I know, you and I know that days are filled with going to the doctor's office and bad reports and visiting a loved one or not being able to visit a loved one in a hospital. Fightings and divorces taking place. Helping sick and being there with a sick child. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The sufferings that you and I go through. Suffering is part of the way of life that you and I live. It's Romans that records and gives us kind of this glimpse of hope. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace." Now, don't tune out. Watch this very carefully. "Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That not only so, but we," watch now, "glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation that you and I face worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience," watch the wording here, "hope." The peace does not come during this times of good times and just on the mountaintop experiences. No, you and I can rejoice and have hope even through times of suffering. You say, "Okay, Pastor, that sounds good and that sounds great." But I'll just be honest, I'm counseling somebody right now and they're going through a hard time. Somebody in their life has COVID. Somebody has pneumonia. And they've got stage 4 cancer. Their cars were just repossessed. They're going through a divorce. I mean, to be honest with you, Pastor, it sounds good and great, but the fruit of the Spirit, joy, at times, living in 2021, having come through 2020, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Okay, so the reason of our joy is the salvation. If we're saved, we're thankful, and then the fruit of the Spirit, okay, begins to work in us. And that fruit of the Spirit gives it to us not just in the good times, but the bad. But how can we rejoice in times of suffering? Well, if you're counseling somebody or discipling somebody, there's a couple things you can give them. First of all, we can hope because we know that God is working. You say, "Pastor Shepherd, does that work?" Well, if you've ever known somebody who's gone through a hard time and they come through and several years later, they usually look back and see that God was at work in their life. You say, "Pastor Shepherd, even through the hard times, even through some very, very difficult times, why did they lose their job? Why did that teenager do that? Why did they have to choose that? Why did they go through? Why did we have to lose brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so so early in their life? And how did we... And we go through these times and tribulations and maybe even our time, there's times in our life where, man, we just feel like it's just a massive setback. Yeah, 2020 was a pretty big setback for a lot of people. Finances, 401k, furloughs, health, death. I mean, you just start naming it, and all of a sudden we're walking out of here licking our wounds like, this is just the worst. It's the worst. How are we going through this? Yeah, it's tough times. But do you know that in the life of a believer, God never stopped working in our life? It's not that we came to 2020, all of a sudden God said, well, you know what? You're on your own, America. Good luck. Oh, Christian, you know, cross point. Good luck with this one. Let's see how you manage. No. God's working and continues to work in your and my life. And oftentimes, that time that we saw was one of our greatest setbacks in life. A mature Christian goes through and allows the fruit of the Spirit to work. And when they get over here, they realize it wasn't a setback. It really was their greatest comeback, because God didn't leave them alone. God didn't leave her there in the valley. And God didn't push them while they're down. No, God lifted them out, and God continued to work in a great time in their life. Look, you and I can rejoice through suffering. How? Because we know that God is working, but also we glory in tribulations because, watch very carefully, the best is yet to come. I mean, yes, God does not will our lives to be in constant trials so that He can feel all powerful. I think it's just very extremely irreverent for a Christian or a lost world to call God this bully on an anthill, that He just makes us go through all these tribulations and He's a mean God. He's up there, and where is God? And where was He when my husband? Why was He with my wife? Where was He when my teenager? Where was He in the car wreck? I'm just saying, He's just this big bully up there. I'm just saying, I believe that is highly irreverent, and it's actually, it's contrary to what God really is in our life. God wants you and I to live a joyful life. I have always preached and will continue to preach that being saved is not this, oh, woe is me. I got saved, and ever since then, it's rules and standards and regulations that I can't wear anything or do anything or be entertained. And I'm just this little old Baptist over here. I'm just so weak and feeble, but bless God, I'll get to heaven one day. I'm just telling you, friend, that's so opposite of what God is. Do you know, living on this earth, God wants joy in our life? He wants to bless you and I, and He does bless you and I. And aren't you thankful we can gather here this evening? I mean, Erica, we may complain about some rules and regulations of being in the red here in Marion County, but I'm just telling you, all around the globe, there are churches that are meeting in silence tonight, and they're not afraid of a health department. They're afraid of going to be imprisoned or maybe even death in some countries. I'm just going to tell you, God has blessed you and I, and if we just start concentrating on what we can't have, we're going to realize, we're never going to realize what the blessings that God has heaped upon our life. And one of those blessings is this: God wants you and I to be happy. When somebody looks at our life, do they want what we have? All right, let's do it. Here we go. Gentlemen in the back, Brother Gary, we're going to start going through everybody's Facebook up here. Are you ready? Oh, good, I don't have Facebook. All right, well, let's go through your emails and your phone conversations this past week. We'll put up here on the board. We're going to start going through. We're going to be here a little while. We're going to go through everybody's Facebook and Instagram. We're going to go through all the memes this past week and past year that we put up. And we're just going to go through all the private conversations. And when we get down to the end, here's what we're going to do. For Darren, we're going to put up here a score for everybody. And everybody's going to get a score. 100 being very joyful. 50, and if you're below 50, you fail, my friend. Can you imagine if we took everybody's social media conversations, attitude, private thought life, and put it up here for over the last 12 months? When the world looks at that, do they want what you and I have? Uh-oh. And we wonder why people aren't flocking to the church anymore. And we wonder why we don't hear of national revivals taking place. In places like North Carolina, Alabama, Michigan, Indiana, Washington, California. Why are we reading about it, Pastor Chris, over in the Philippines and Southeast Asia? We're reading of revivals that are taking place. Why are we seeing them here anymore? I'll tell you why. It didn't take a little time at all. We'll start seeing the world looks at us as, why would I want what they have? Bitter, mad, upset. Can I put it in there? Complaining. There's no joy in their life. Oh, yeah, this big God they got in their life. Wow, what a God they have. They're scared of everything. They're fearful of everything. They're mad at everybody. Everybody's wrong. And they're right about everything. I have to be honest, if that's what they call a Christian, no thank you. See, that's not the life that God has designed for you and I to live. A life that you and I have been designed to live is a life that is very patient, and a life that is very joyful, and a life that we talked about this morning, did we not, in Sunday school class? We talked it about in Sunday school class. I'm looking for my Sunday school teacher. Look, we talked about it in there, but being impatient. The world looks at us, and they ought to see something that is different. If you believe that, say amen tonight. Let's think about this. It is the resilience of joy that God allows trials to mold us into His image. Our goal as Christians is to be more like Christ. And as we are more like Christ, we begin to take on the image of Christ, who for the joy was set before Him. Is that not what the Bible says? Despising, look at everything that Christ went through. Yet, isn't it amazing that the multitudes would throng to Him? Why? It's different. There was something about this guy that the Pharisees didn't have. There was something about this man from Galilee. There was something about this man that just didn't, it wasn't the same old, same old. Was it the phylacteries? Was it the robes of purple? Was it, it's something that he had that everybody else wanted. And isn't it amazing that as you and I take on Him, that fruit of the Spirit then comes through us, that even in times of trials, how can we rejoice? You and I cannot, but the fruit of the Spirit that lives inside of us can. Why? Because God is working. We understand that the best is yet to come, that these trials and tribulations that we're going through, they're only going to last a season, but also that He's going to mold us into His image. The reasons of our joy, the resilience of our joy. But let's look at this. Number three this evening, the revelation of our joy. How can joy be revealed in our life? If the root of joy is to be grounded in our hearts through salvation, it will be revealed in several different ways. So how is the revelation? How is this? If joy is really in our life, and even in hard times and good times, okay, the Holy Spirit, we're getting it now. We're getting it. You say, oh man, Pastor, I'm following you. So it starts in salvation. It's a fruit of the Spirit, okay? Even through hard times, God continues to work and in these three biblical areas. Okay, but how do you and I then display it? Well, especially, think about it for a moment. As Christians, how do we show the joy that the fruit of the Spirit is washing through us so that others can see? Well, there really are several biblical ways. First of all, joy is revealed in, are you ready for this? Drum roll, please, through singing. Singing. Oh, good. Some of you are thinking, that automatically counts me out because I can't sing. Oh, good. Okay, we'll go ahead and get to the next one because I'll be honest with you. Pastor Chris and Brother Josh, they've never asked me to be up there to sing in a group. I mean, our family is not like Brother Gary's family. We're not gonna be able to get up there. We're just not the Von Trapps, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, nobody's asking us to get up there. So let's just go ahead and move to the next one. Wait. The Bible never says anything about making a talented noise unto the Lord. But it does say, make a, you ready for the wording? Joyful. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. to the foretaste of glory divine. Woo! Virgin salvation. Washing his blood. Oh, good to feed that. Born in the Spirit. You know, joyful is actually being able to see it on our face. You see, you and I talk about what excites us. Isn't that funny? It's biblical. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's discussing our grandkids. It's discussing a good grade. It's talking about a promotion. It's on our heart. It's enthusiastic. It's exciting. It's our team that won. It's wow, you know, they're going to the Super Bowl. They made it to the AFC, the championship. They're moving on. Well, March Madness is right around the corner, and it's this, and it's talking about what excites them. I'm telling you, if you've ever talked to a grandparent, you just ask them, wow, how old is your grandchildren? Whoop, they love to talk about hair. Let me show you a couple pictures here. Let me see if I can get my phone on. It's the old flip kind. Here we go, you know. And they're going to, now this is when they were one. And you're just thinking, oh, settle in, folks. We're going to be here a while. Because why? It excites them. We love to talk about things that excite us. The question is, are we excited about the things of God? You know, when something impacts your life, you talk about it. And when you're enjoying the Lord, you naturally sing about it. I know you this evening. There's no chairs up here. I've never sat on the stage. I've never been part of this choir. I've never led the music here. Every service that pastor has attended has been right here, right in front of Pastor Defoe, right on that second row. That's every service I have sat right there. The only person I have ever watched sing has been those who have led the music, Pastor Chris or Brother Gear or Greer, and that's it. That's not all. And then I've watched those who have sang up here in different ensembles or soloists like Amy's one. That's it. So what I'm about to say is not picking on anyone. This isn't the music guys getting together and let's make a list and okay, who wasn't singing today? I just feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me to say that if you and I really have God in our heart and we're joyful, you ready for this? It's going to come out. We're going to sing about Him. Well, I can't sing. Well, we already covered that. It's not. This isn't a competition. This is not Crosspoint's Got Talent, okay? And we're going to see who's the best. Well, he's out. My goodness, he can't sing. She's awful. Look, I just be honest. Nobody's asked Pastor Shepherd yet to sing a song. And probably rightfully so. It's okay. You know, to be honest with you, it's just singing for Him. Have you ever seen a Christian church that barely sing? They don't move their mouth. It's grumbling. You know, singing can show an indication of the roots that are connected properly to the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, this is not Pastor Shepherd saying, okay, I want to see everybody singing. Everybody, now write this down. You know, this is what I want. This is what we're going to change at Cross Point Baptist Church. Everybody, for now on, you better be singing. That's not at all. Actually, what this is a biblical principle. In fact, the book of James asks this question. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any, watch the wording here, M-E-R-R-Y. Is any merry? That means this, joyful, happy, let him give a testimony? Nope. Preach behind the pulpit? Play the piano? Nope. Be a welcomer at the back? No. If any be merry, joyful, you ready for this? Let him sing psalms. Okay, how many are saved tonight? Say amen. Okay, let's try it again. How many are saved tonight? Say amen. Now, how many are excited about going to heaven one day? Say amen. Now, I didn't say the way that you're going to heaven. That's a little fearful, but I'm saying like going to heaven. It's joyful. It's happy. Okay? If we're excited about that, then you know what the Bible says? We're going to sing about it. We're going to be happy about singing. Is something that flows through our hearts and our minds. Well, I don't like the song that we sang. Okay, Well, just for a moment, maybe put aside whatever your preference is and think about the words that were up on the board tonight. In fact, I don't know how hard this would be, Brother Darren, but maybe work on it just for a moment. I'll give you a couple minutes here. But I really would like to get just that first verse, Pastor Chris, whatever that last song that we sang, the one that you couldn't quite see, the words right there, whatever that is, I've been there, trust me. I had to get a Bible with a little bit bigger words because we have all been there before. We're getting older, friend. See the gray here? Thank you very much. We've all been there. But I want us to look at the words of that song. Whenever it gets up on the board, if they can't find it, don't worry about it. But understand this. As we go through, there are things in our life that we're excited about. Those things we talk about. As we talk about those things, why do we talk about it? Because it excites us. It gets us happy. Somebody said last week, Pastor, on a Wednesday night, why don't you calm down a little bit? I said, can't calm down. Why? Because the Bible happens to really excite me. I find joy in preaching. And so we look at the things of God. What's going to flow is going to be this. It's going to naturally flow out. And we're going to be able to see it. So as we see it, watch now, where it's going to be revealed in our singing. Look at this. Believe in God's inerrant word. Inspired and therefore pure. Somebody say amen right there. Is that not good? Continue in the things you've learned, for sacred truth is sure. Next slide, please. Rejoice in God's delightful word that satisfies the soul. Far sweeter than honeycomb and more desired than gold. Who couldn't get excited about that? We're singing about the very Word of God. We ought to get excited about it. Okay, so we have to start the chorus over. Big deal. Think about the words and how amazing that is. That song this morning, I told Amy afterwards, just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. I'm just here to tell you, friend, if you can't get excited about the very name of Jesus, there ought to be some checking up in our life. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit flows through us, it is revealed in our singing, but it's also revealed in the gospel. That means this, are we talking to people about the Lord? Are we bringing people to the Lord? Are we confronting them with what excites us, that joy? The psalmist speaks of caring for others. They sow in tears and reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We're really good about talking about what we love. Some of you wives know you can bring up one word, hunting, and you can be there for the next 30 minutes. Gentlemen, you can say the word shopping, and we're going to be camped out for a long time. Teenagers, you can get excited about the newest craze, whether Fortnite or whatever it is. Boy, you're going to talk about V-Bucks, and you're going to talk about the app of the day. You're going to talk about, and you get excited about it. What the lost world ought to see in us is we're not just excited about, well, the Packers made it. Boy, can you believe? Boy, what a game that we're going to see. The Chiefs are in the... What the world ought to see is you and I excited about what? The God that changed our lives. The God that lives and the God that reigns. There's a track rack in the back. It's full of tracks. And those tracks is not a duty just to go through and, okay, well, yeah, here it is, all right. Yeah, it's this, yeah, just read it, just play, just... What's inside of these tracks is the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't you love that word? Good news. You ever have a surgeon come in or a doctor and they say, well, got some good news. Yeah, give me the good news. Somebody's going in, they're going to deliver a baby, and they're in there and they're back there and they're forever. We haven't heard anything. Find the doctor, the nurse comes out, the anesthesiologist, whatever it is. Well, I got good news for you. Woo, yes, woo. We love good news, don't we? We love good news. You know, Jesus Christ is good news.
We get a lot of bad news. We get a lot of, well, Israel's canceled. Well, sorry, you know. Love for you to beat the basketball game, but you can't be there. And, bad news, bad news. You know what's good news? Jesus still saves. Amen? It's good news. It's something to rejoice in. If the fruit of our life is anxiety, frustration, depression, and discouragement, maybe we need to examine the roots by which our fruit is coming from. Maybe we ought to pray as David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." The revelation of our joy is revealed. It's revealed through our singing. It's revealed through the gospel. As Spirit in good times and bad, working inside of us and gives us that real, not world, not flesh, real biblical joy. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I ask this evening as the pianist comes tonight, could we please stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed this evening? Just no one looking around, just for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it really would be easy just to head into this message and say, have joy. Sing a song. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Invitation, let's head out. But when we get down to the real root of it, where is this fruit coming from? Are we trying to conjure it up on our own, or are we relying on the Holy Spirit and displaying it through Him? The reasons of our joy, the resilience and the revelation, it's amazing when we let God have control. How many tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed would just say, "Lord, I desire to have real joy in my life." Through 2021 and through this coronavirus and through the heartache and through the bad times and through the lost job and through the furlough and through the... Lord, I really sincerely ask You tonight. I want that real joy that You offer. With heads bowed and eyes closed.